Hello and welcome to the podcast. This week, Parashat Shlach, I want to speak about a beautiful idea regarding the Meraglim, regarding the spies that were sent into the land of Israel. This idea is based on a shiur by Rabbi Soloveitchik, quite a long shiur, so we're going to actually greatly oversimplify the content of the shiur. And I just want to talk about a couple of the core ideas behind the shiur. The story of the spies raises quite a few questions, because essentially, as the commentaries ask, the Meraglim were sent with a particular mission in mind. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them to check out the nature of the land, the nature of the cities, the nature of the produce, the nature of the people that live there. And when you look at exactly what the Meraglim say, they seem to do exactly what they were asked to do. They say that the produce was very large, was very impressive, the people were very strong, the cities were fortified. And this essentially describes what it is that Moshe says to them to do. So what exactly are they being blamed for when they come back with a description of what it was that Moshe had asked them to do, to provide? Now, the various commentaries all address this question in their own way. Rabbi Soloveitchik offers his approach. But he also addresses another question, which is that at the beginning of the parasha, Rashi, based on the Midrash, asks why this story was written on the heels of another story involving Lashon Hara, which is the story of Miriam in the end of last week's parasha. The end of Parasha Balotcha, Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about her brother, and at the beginning of this week's parasha, we have the Meraglim speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. So the Midrash points out that the two stories were written back to back in order to show you that the Meraglim saw what happened to Miriam. They saw that she was punished for saying Lashon Hara, and they should have taken note, they should have learned the lesson, they should have understood the implications and therefore not fall into the same trap themselves. Now, what's difficult about this whole Midrash is it's hard to understand what exactly was the kind of Lashon Hara that was being spoken here. And what does the Meraglim's report have in common in any shape or form with what Miriam said about Moshe? They're really such distantly related cases, you can almost say they're not related at all. What should the Meraglim have seen in the story of Miriam that they could have learned and applied to their own situation? So Rabbi Soloveitchik has a beautiful idea. He says that what was it that Moshe exactly wanted from the spies? When he sends them on their mission, Rabbi Soloveitchik quotes a Gemara from Kiddushin that says that it's Asur l'kadesh isha ad she'ir'ena, that a person's not allowed to marry a woman, to do Kiddushin with a woman, until he sees her. So practically, what does that mean? That means that supposing you hear about some woman somewhere, you've never met her, but do you want to send a shaliach, you want to send an agent to go, a proxy on your behalf to perform Kiddushin, which you're allowed to do. You're allowed to have a shaliach perform Kiddushin on your behalf, but you haven't met the woman, so says the Gemara, you're not allowed to send the shaliach to do the Kiddushin before you actually have had a chance to meet the woman, to get to know her, to have some sort of a courtship. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says this was the idea behind sending the Meraglim. This is what Hashem had in mind, that the Jewish people are now going to enter into a unique bond of connection with the land of Israel, a relationship which Soloveitchik calls a segula relationship, a unique, qualitatively unique relationship. And before they enter into that relationship, Hashem wants them to actually have a bonding period, an opportunity to court, a courtship with the land of Israel, so to speak. And therefore, Moshe is commanded to send the people in to have some sort of a romantic tour of the land of Israel, in order that they can come to appreciate the segula qualities, the unique qualities of Eretz Israel. And Rav Soloveitchik says that this is where the Meraglim get it wrong. They don't understand that that's what the idea is. They think when Moshe Rabbeinu is sending them on their way, they are meant to determine the geopolitical elements, qualities of the land. And it's true that Moshe does mention the geopolitical qualities, but that's not the purpose. That's not the be-all and end-all of what it's all about. Those are certain ideas that can help the Meraglim get a feeling for the essence of the land. That's what they're really supposed to be doing. But they don't get that. They think it's just the geopolitical reality and that's all. And therefore, that's what they come back and they say, yeah, it's a land, it's got very nice aspects to it, but very, the people are very powerful, the cities are very, very strong. We're going to have a lot of difficulty when we try to conquer this land. And they fail to see the deeper dimension behind it. Eretz Yisrael has all those fine things, has all those qualities about it, but Eretz Yisrael is something beyond. And our relationship with Eretz Yisrael is something beyond that. I remember when I was went on holiday with my family when I was 10 years old to Israel for the first time, and we were walking around looking at historical sites, and from my perspective, I was getting a little bit tired of seeing all of these ruins and dirt roads and dirt paths and museum pieces, and essentially I was, you know, unable at that age to really appreciate what Eretz Yisrael is all about and what it is that connects us to that special land. So it's this mistake that Meraglim made, and Rav Soloveitchik brilliantly connects this to the sin of Miriam, because what Miriam did when she criticized Moshe, what was she saying? Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem that you had to separate from his wife, because he was a Navi. After Mamad Har Sinai, he was a Navi of a different level compared to any other Navi. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to give us the Torah. No other Navi had a nevuah, a relationship with Hashem so intense and powerful that enabled them to give Torah and Mitzvot. And the Rambam even codifies this as one of these 13 principles of faith, that not only do you have to believe in nevuah, which is one of the principles, but there's a separate principle which says that you have to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is qualitatively different to every other nevuah. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship with Hashem was a segula relationship. It was qualitatively unique and distinct from every other nevuah relationship that Hashem had with people. And Miriam, when she was criticizing Moshe, she was saying, what do you mean Moshe separated from his wife? None of us have to separate. We're also Nevi'im. We also have a relationship with Hashem. Hashem's spoken to us too. How come he's so special he has to separate from... Now, she wasn't trying to say this in a negative way. She wasn't trying to criticize Moshe fundamentally, because he was her brother. She was very close to him. From the time he was a little baby, she looked after him and cared for him. She wasn't being vindictive. She wasn't being vexatious. But essentially, she was... Well, according to Rav Soloveitchik, what was she doing wrong? Her Lashon Hara was the fact that she did not appreciate Moshe's uniqueness. She did not appreciate the segula quality of Moshe's relationship with Hashem. And this was the Lashon Hara that she said. Lashon Hara is not just about being negative, although there is an element to that as well. But even if you're not being negative, you just don't appreciate the greatness of something. You don't appreciate the segula qualities of something. You don't appreciate the inner depth of something. That's the underlying root cause behind Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is the external symptom, but the underlying cause is the issue here, which is the lack of appreciation for the segula quality. This is what Miriam didn't appreciate about Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what the Meraglim did not appreciate about Eretz Yisrael. And this really is also the fundamental issue that we have with Lashon Hara. According to the Chafetz Chaim, Lashon Hara is the sin that embodies Sinat Chinam, the basis hatred, that's the basis of the destruction of the Second Temple and the basis of the continuing exile that's lasted 2,000 years. And what is so bad about Lashon Hara? Well, you can say lots of different things. You can talk about the idea that it's divisive. You can talk about the fact that it indicates a lack of Avat Yisrael, of love of your fellow Jew, which is supposed to be the basis of bonding the Jewish people together. You can say lots of different things. But according to this idea that Rav Soloveitchik says, there's another idea to it, another aspect to it, which is this concept of not appreciating the skula qualities of a person. The human being is such a profound thing, such a profound creation. The idea that you can have this profoundly complex structure such as the human body. And not only do you have the physical complexity, but the spiritual complexity, the uniqueness of the inner life of every single human being, the incredible brilliance of what it is to be a human being, no matter which human being they are, just that very humanity is something that's so incredibly deep and profound. And yet we have a tendency to make light of that. We have a tendency not even to appreciate that at all. We have a tendency to look at people and measure them up and compare them to other people and say, well, this person's only great if they are better than other people. if they rank highly amongst a list of other people. In other words, what we're saying is, if this person does not measure up by some relative standard to other people, then this person really doesn't have anything remarkable to say about them at all. And this is a tragic approach to viewing human beings. This is a travesty. This is a desecration of the greatness of the human being. As the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, whoever saves a human life, it's considered as if they've saved an entire world. Every single human being could have been the one human being for whom the world was created. Hashem created man alone in order to teach us this idea, that any one person alone would have been worthy of having the entire world created for them, because the human being is such a profound entity. And even when it comes to ourselves, we fall into this trap. Sometimes we don't appreciate our own greatness. We only consider ourselves great if we do better than other people, if we have some sort of achievements to put to our name. We get down on ourselves. We're hard on ourselves because we don't see ourselves in the right light. We don't appreciate the fundamental brilliance of our humanity. This is a central idea that comes out of Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation of the story of the Meraglim. The idea that we should all appreciate our own greatness and the greatness of others and the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. If we can succeed at doing that, at appreciating all of these things, then we will come to view life, our own life, the lives of others, in entirely different perspectives, through a completely different lens. And it will open our eyes to a far deeper dimension, a far more profound and powerful dimension of all of reality. Thank you for joining us, and with that I wish you Shabbat Shalom.